Welcome back to the Koshcast. This week in the Premiership, it's a mixed bag of surprises and standard things. On the surprise side, Pardiola loses a game, Walters gets a perfect hat-trick, and Jonjo Shelvey takes down Southampton on his own. On the list of regular occurrences, Falcao scores a rubbish goal, Harry Kane scores good goals, and Aston Villa don't score goals. In Spain, Eibar set the bar low as Atleti blow them away. In Italy, Sassuolo carve into Milan, and in the returning Bundesliga, Bayern pull a Mowgli and get tamed by a pack of wolves. Elsewhere, Australia are good at sports, there's possible and totally unforeseen corruption at the African Cup of Nations, and we've got a special scout report for you. Kosh engaged! Welcome back to another Koshcast. Now, I'm a firm believer that your favourite formation is a window to your soul. So, before we start today, Mohamed, what is your preferred formation?
4-2-3-1.
Ruchet?
This is a tough question because suppose a 4-2-3-1 is a variation for a 4-3-3, which is kind of a variation for a 4-4-2, so all formations are one and my soul is one and all.
What did he say?
It was a very spiritual answer.
Bernie, please pick 3-5-2.
Well, my philosophy?
Yeah.
No, I'm picking 4-4-2.
Right.
1999 kind of 4-4-2.
David Beckham on the right, Giggs on the left.
Mm. I like the old school British style.
Fair enough. All right, I gotta go with Mahan on this one. 4-2-3-1.
Alex, what is? Oh, okay. You said 4-2-3-1.
Tactical snob.
Yeah.
But guys, you have to know that 4-2-3-1 is a variant of 4-4-3.
We've been already.
You have to know.
Please do not do this
stop
to us. Roger
before we get into reincarnation.
I will. I will stop him before he does that. Let's talk about some Premier League scores. There were some very interesting games. We'll keep the biggest game till the end. Let's start with Liverpool-West Ham. This was the game where everyone was waiting for Sturridge's return.
And did he return?
He did. The last 20 minutes, he did show up and score a brilliant goal. I mean, a striker's goal. It wasn't magnificent, but it was like the first touch was brilliant. The second one with his right.
Yeah.
And it was 2-0 for Liverpool at the end. Coutinho played well. Sterling played well.
Yeah. The team certainly had a lift by his presence. And within 12 minutes of his return, he had one touch to take the ball down. Two touch, a finish with his right foot on the inside post. Beautiful finish. Typical lethal striker's goal. I have to give him the plaudits for that.
I hate jumping on the anti-Balotelli bandwagon because I'm not anti-Balotelli. I think he's having a rough time. But it just shows you, like, you know, Sturridge takes 12 minutes to score a goal. Balotelli's still struggling
12
to,
games.
To get a shot on target. So, you know.
You know, on that note, Alex, I saw an article that said Sturridge's return hurts Balotelli.
Oh, big time.
My immediate reaction to that was... Who cares what Balotelli thinks? He's been rubbish.
It depends on it's what's best for Liverpool, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Best for Liverpool, Sturridge is now back. People are already saying the new SAS, Sterling and Sturridge. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers, who, by the way, in a post-match interview, called Coutinho Phil, which I thought was quite surprising.
Philbert?
just Phil. It'll be interesting to see if he's able to get Sturridge, Sterling, Lallana, Coutinho all into the same team.
Right.
I'm not sure he's able to.
I don't think he can, and I'm not really... I mean, as long as they keep Sturridge fit, we all know that they should be dangerous. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think that Coutinho... I think he's a wonderful player. I've always liked him. I just don't think he has consistency to carry Liverpool where they should, quote-unquote, be.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we take it one game at a time, and they do well today.
I see a 4-3-3 working with Lucas Henderson and Lallana, or Lucas Henderson Coutinho, with Sterling, Lallana, and Sturridge. I mean, they could fit. They could.
Lucas,
I mean,
maybe. Henderson. Okay, let's do it. Lucas Henderson, Lallana,
Coutinho. Let's say Coutinho is attacking mid. So, Lucas Henderson, Coutinho. And then Lallana right, Sterling left, Sturridge up front. That works. You want your best players on the field.
It's not a bad idea. All I'd say is that the Liverpool revitalization has all come about with this 3-4-2-1 that Rodgers has implemented. It's given them clean sheets, three in a row now, which is impressive. And it's managed to get those attacking midfielders into the game. So, I don't know, abandoning it now might be a bit dodgy.
Right. Well, I mean, Liverpool now are seventh in the table, which is, you know, they're slowly creeping up. They are the informed team, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And there are 38 points. They're only, what, like 4 points away from a Champions League spot. It's doable at this point. Like,
yep.
It's not out of their hands. Another team that is currently in the Champions League spot is Manchester United. They beat Leicester 3-1. Going, I think, 3-0 up, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leicester scoring one, whatever. United clean sheets, not, you know.
I mean, it was the typical United performance over the last couple of weeks in that they have all the ball. At one point, in fact, I think in this game they had 70% possession.
Right.
And at one point before Leicester started mustering up their challenge, it was 75-25. And they didn't do too much, but they did look threatening for the first time in a long time. And it was mostly because he decided to play Januzaj one side, second half he was bombing them. Di Maria was running at them. Daley Blind was solid. Rooney was just kind of doing this mop-up thing
somewhere in the middle.
It was a 4-4-2 diamond.
Diamond, yeah.
So he had Rooney on the left, but he wasn't playing on the left.
Blind the deepest. He had a good game, didn't he?
And it was just kind of like, if you looked at Rooney, he was like, oh, I'm going to take the ball off Blind and I'm going to recycle the ball. There's a lot of recycling and going on. And
very environmentally friendly game.
Or is it that Rooney had a position but just did what he wanted anyway?
No, he didn't have a position.
Okay.
Well, it's hard to say because United started the game slowly and then grew into the game. So the floodgates essentially opened and they were 3-0 up within halftime. So I think it was 0-0 until 30 minutes and then 3-0 at halftime.
Right.
One own goal, which was kind of unlucky, but well-deserved lead at the break, even with the way offside goal by Van Persie.
It was a great finish.
Excellent finish. Yeah. Excellent vision from Blind to steal the ball off his opponent and then chip one over. Beautiful assist.
Can we say that from the corner that they scored, it was not Phil Jones taking it, which is why a goal probably occurred
the
corner.
That was a neat little move, though. The Blind kind of wrestling with the goalkeeper and then running forward at the angle to get a flick on at the near post.
What's funny is, and Rashad, I don't know if you noticed that was a tactic. Every time they took a corner, Blind would cut in front of the goalie, come around to the front post.
Oh, he did that every time?
Second half again.
Oh, that kind of takes the gloss off of it. I thought that was a special move.
Philosophy.
You know, R1, L1, circle,
Blind flick.
Blind flick, yeah.
So, United still keep their third spot. We'll talk about the two above them, City and Chelsea, in a bit, but United keep their third spot at 43 points. I mean, looking good for a Champions League spot. They're not playing their best, but they're still getting the results that they need.
Yeah, for all the panic buttons that were hit in the last couple of weeks, they're now within 5 points of Man City, and Southampton lost today. So, that gives them a little boost.
Southampton lost to Swansea 1-0.
John Shelby. Corker.
Yeah, it was a great goal. I mean, we were watching and we were like, pass it off or something. We were like, no, the best chance Swansea have of scoring is letting Shelby just shoot the ball.
It's true. I mean, because they weren't really building any play. They didn't have much possession. It was just breakaways and Shelby,
Clearly, Gomis is no Wilfred Bony. No. So you might as well shoot from
They also didn't have Sigurdsson. So this is a Bony-less and Sigurdsson-less.
A
Bony-less.
Boneless attack.
Swansea, so I mean, it's still good for them that they picked up these 3 points. Bad for Southampton. They still keep fourth spot, though. Which is good.
Only
for
on goal difference.
Only on goal difference because Arsenal did beat.
You forget the names because they're so crap.
Aston Villa.
No surprises here. Okay,
when a team doesn't score in 10 hours, you forget they exist.
Okay. So Arsenal scored 3 beautiful counter-attacking goals against Aston Villa. The bald fullbacks of Aston Villa could not stop them from scoring.
Are they all bald?
They were at the start of the season. Some of them might have grown hair, I'm not sure. But for the majority, they are. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. Aston Villa have not scored in over 10 hours.
Yes.
Yep.
An open goal in play. Yeah. And they've also scored the fewest goals in all 91 league teams.
Yeah. According to Alex, they haven't scored since 1964.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
it's been a long time.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. I shouldn't have left you.
I think Giroud scored a really nice goal from a beautiful Ozil assist flick. Ozil scored his second goal in 2 games now after since his return from injury.
Giroud assist for that goal.
Giroud, yes, correct. So they assisted each other and scored. I think Cazorla got a penalty. Bellerin at the very end, which was a nice little touch
for
the
youngster. Finish,
yeah. So I mean, expected result because it's a tough game next week for Arsenal against Tottenham in the
White Hart Lane.
Well, 5-0 was a good, very good result, above expectations.
Alex was saying we need it for goal difference. You never know, end of season with Southampton or even United or Tottenham, goal difference might be a big factor.
Because two out of three of those teams will probably end up on the same point. So you never know. I just want to play Mahana's reaction to Giroud's goal. Is everyone okay with me doing that?
Sure, go for it, yeah.
if your phone ever works.
Tell us how you feel about this goal.
I feel horrible. Look at this touch. Look at this. Wow. No. It matters if, like, you know when it matters? It matters when it's like Bentner against Barca. Then it matters. It doesn't matter when it's, what's this guy's name? Okoro.
It was, guys, listen.
Okay, can we provide context to this?
Giroud just scored. I was watching him with Alex. and he was really happy, and I was upset. I was upset that Giroud's scored.
This is your normal life.
Yes, because the ball got caught under his foot for no reason, and that's just peasantry. It's just not good enough.
I agree.
It was a lovely little finish, though.
I agree with you that it's peasantry, but you have to... There are two sides to this, right?
Yeah.
The flick from Ozil
yeah.
was completely elitist. It was beautiful.
It was.
So you have to balance it out with a little bit of peasantry. If not, the world goes out of balance.
The Ozil flick is like a Renaissance painting.
The original cherubs. The clearance by Mertesacker was peasantry to begin with. That is Route 1 football counterattack.
No, but when you're an Arsenal fan, you're happy with a clearance.
Oh, man.
You're delighted with a clearance. Mohan, I tell you, when we're watching the games, the amount of times I shout, kick it!
But speaking of the North London Derby next week, Tottenham are also looking very good going into that. They beat West Brom 3-0 away. Again, beautiful goals. Eriksen, another free kick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Someone on BBC Radio 5 Live on the 606 phone-in show, someone called in. And he just said, he was a Tottenham fan, and he was just like, Eriksen is a better looking and more masculine version than Luka Modric.
So therefore we should keep him.
Yeah. Wow.
He's getting personal over here.
Yeah. Where do we even start with that nonsense?
I don't know. Like, why exactly the same physique? Yeah.
We're talking about different positions and different players, but okay. I'm not going to nitpick.
But he has been brilliant, and it was another wonderful free kick. And Jan Vertonghen said after the game that he was talking to Danny Rose, like on the pitch just before the free kick, and was like, if he does this again, it will be unbelievable. And then he did. Like, good story, yeah.
So cool story, bro.
Yeah.
The countdown to Real Madrid starts now.
Yeah. Starts the summer. Yeah.
Well, a couple of interesting things about this game to take away. First of all, Tottenham winning 3-0. Clean sheet, yeah. A.
Yuri's amazing.
Yeah? Again. Okay. And B, it's not a 2-1 scoreline.
This is true. This and is C. unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And C, Harry Kane has now unlocked the 20-goal barrier. First guy in all of the Premier League teams to do so.
In all competitions.
That includes your Diego Costas, your Kun Agüeros. Mm. That's an impressive feat.
That is impressive.
It's very impressive. And his finishing, again, was fantastic. Do you reckon he gets like a text from the FA or the Premier League that's just like, achievement unlocked? Ding, ding. Yeah. Right, Bernie, what's your problem?
It's the Europa League. That's my problem. I'm not trying to knock in because I was on the anti-Kane bandwagon before, but I don't care that you scored how many.
But he had to get into the team, right?
I just don't care. But he had to. These other guys we're talking about, he just said Diego Costa, Aguero, they're playing in the Champions League. Yeah. We all know that Harry Kane would not.
But they're also playing in much better teams.
I'm just saying, let's not overdo it. It's nice for his confidence.
I think that's total rubbish. The group stage of the Champions League is... for want of a better term, it's a pissing contest. The big clubs just smash the little teams. Harry Kane could score bucket loads of goals in the group stage of the Champions League.
The way I see it is you can only beat what's in front of you, and he's done it. So that in the Europa League wouldn't score.
I'm giving him his credit for it. Yeah. I just don't think we should blow it over. Because Charlie Austin would have scored 20 goals if he was in the Europa League for Tottenham too. This is how I feel.
Maybe.
Jermaine Defoe did it when he was on the bench scoring in the Europa League last season. Mm. So what's so special about Harry Kane doing it?
Okay, it's unfair to like just...
Just saying, Jermaine Defoe did do this.
Bring down the whole tournament. Jermaine the tournament Defoe does have some quality.
No, I'm saying he scored like 8 goals last season only playing in Europa League.
Sure.
And Harry Kane just did the same thing.
But
so
he's also doing it every week in the Premier League.
Yeah.
It just kind of shows me that the Europa League is very peasantry.
We know this, but he's doing it every week in the Premier League.
So I understand your point that you're making. The Europa League quality of football is less, easier to score against your opponents. You know, that's arguable, but you can't overlook the fact that he has been scoring week in, week out in the Premier League.
Again, I said, good player, and he deserves credit. But when Diego Costa scores 17 goals in the Premier League only... Or whatever. I don't know how many he's got in Champions League, but he's scoring in the Premier League.
No, it's more impressive, of course.
Of course it's more impressive to me than Harry Kane scored 20 goals playing against peasants who I don't even know.
But that's my point. But here's the thing. Diego Costa is a 32 million signing who played in the Champions League final last season. Harry Kane just came up from the under-21s.
Great. Like, I give him credit.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm not going to overblow it.
Right. No, I don't think anyone
is. He's not going to get to England.
It's just back. He scored 20 goals. Well done.
Let's see how this goes towards the end of the season.
Let's talk about the biggest game of the weekend. Chelsea City, top of the table clash. They were, I think, 5 points apart before the game started. Big 3 points for City if they were to get it, to close the gap down to 2. If Chelsea win, they pretty much won the league. Game ended in a draw, obviously. Now it's still in the balance. Nothing changed. 5 points still. 1-1, the final score. Who scored for Chelsea? I think it was Remy from a beautiful Hazard assist.
Beautiful
and City scored from Silva.
Oi, Lampard! You're a traitor!
Yes, that was the biggest talking point as well.
The biggest talking point for me was the FA being the man of the match.
Why?
Banning Diego Costa for this game, mysteriously right after the Carling Cup stompings, quote-unquote.
Well, I mean, he did stomp on like three guys in that game, man. Like,
you know what? He's a tough competitor. It's Liverpool.
No, he's also a dirty player.
It's Liverpool. It's not an excuse.
Yeah.
You know what? An immediate ban, you know, with the City game in mind, it's a big game for the weekend. I just can't help but think that they just want to make sure that Chelsea don't run away with this.
No, that's absolutely
right. I really feel that.
The reason why I'm counting you is because they have to do their job. If you're going to ban him, you have to ban him for
right
the
away.
Game. You can't say, I'm not going to ban you for the game against Manchester City just because we want to make it more interesting.
Yeah, how bad would that seem? Yeah, think about it that way. If they had said, yeah, ban starts after City, then City would be like, what? Like,
yeah,
that
you
makes
can't
sense.
Just change. You know, there are bans where he's not suspended immediately for the next game.
That's only when you fight it.
When you appeal it.
And only when
he did appeal it, didn't he?
But they were not successful. So it's that simple.
That was I agree.
That's
that was
a very
quick
verdict.
It takes like a week.
It depends on the situation. It's not like a racism charge and you appeal that and it, no, that it needs goes to
but
review.
But usually people appeal these things thinking, oh, the next game is important. Let me just appeal it so he can, worst case, he gets banned in the
next. That was 5 years ago. This hasn't happened in recent times. Believe you me. It just doesn't happen. And the fact of the matter is, again, I'm not going to be mad at the FA because half of us in this room think that Diego Costa stomped on the dude.
Oh, he stomped on
the
dude.
So this is what I'm saying. So if we know that he stomped the guy,
yeah, he deserves to be punished.
Like, what's the big deal?
Oh, you're right. Anyways, let's not take away from the game. It wasn't a...
It wasn't
the most exciting game. Sanya played, finally.
It didn't actually played well.
I mean, not in an attacking sense.
No, really. Obviously. But he was there to control Hazard, and
true.
He did a good job.
Zuma played instead of Kael, who got dropped.
Zuma
was very good. Matic doing his usual thing, Fernandini doing his usual thing. Ramirez came back because Fabregas was injured too. So Chelsea were without Costa and Fabregas against City. That's a lot of good players out.
I couldn't help but notice that City have looked for a player to fill in that Makalele role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they found him. They found two players. They found Fernandinho and they found Fernando.
Yeah, Fernando's actually not doing as bad as I thought he would be.
He's pretty average.
He is, but he's solid. He just does what he needs to. Gets the ball, passes it off to a better guy
he's
next to
him. It's not good enough. It's the fact. It's not good enough. When Yaya Toure goes away, have you heard that stat or something? They've lost every game this season that he has. Not lost.
They haven't won a game
this season or something.
No,
like
he's important.
Or maybe not
it's not just this season. They haven't won a game without Yaya Toure since like 2013.
Something along those lines.
There's no way, really.
I think they won one or two like in the last week or the last month. But their record with Yaya Toure is pitiful. They've won maybe three games without Yaya Toure. So what does that tell you? The people that are coming in to play his position are just not doing a good enough job.
Well, it's because when you have Yaya Toure, it's hard to have a replacement that is also world class. His replacement will always be a step below.
But then you spent $25 million on the guy who is Fernandinho, who was supposed to be the replacement. That's the whole idea.
But
if you're going to spend that kind of money, what are you spending it on?
Fernandinho wasn't supposed to be the replacement.
No,
for Yaya, he was supposed to partner him.
Fernando's replacement?
Fernando's just a backup option for that midfield, because if you remember last season, when one of Fernandinho or Yaya was out, they had nothing.
That's true.
Milner.
Well, they had, what's his name? He was really bad. Javi Garcia.
I still see Martinez for a second.
But guys, just really quickly, the final talking point in the game was obviously Lampard coming on, 20 minutes to go at Stamford Bridge. After the game, he did say it was nice to get a proper send off because he never got one before leaving Chelsea. There was mixed reactions. You could hear some boos, you could hear some cheering, and then when he got the ball the first time, you heard some boos. It was weird.
This is a stupid reaction for the Chelsea fans to have. I mean, Lampard left the club and he was the oldest player there. There was no place for him anymore, so you know what, they accepted and they gave him his good wishes, and now he's playing for City. Okay, big deal, City signed him, you know. We all know the situation, but now he's getting booed and his fans are being ungrateful to him, and I think that's just pure peasantry on their end.
Can I play devil's advocate on this one? Because I do think there's a lot of peasantry. Again, I keep saying this word.
Yeah,
but that is going on in terms of their reaction to Frank Lampard. But we have to admit that the saying I didn't want to play against Chelsea, which is why I went to New York City FC, and then he did, scored, and then he extended his contract, or he never signed. It is shady, and it makes Chelsea fans feel you were disingenuous. So I'm not saying you can't belittle his legend. I get it, but there is a rationale for this.
Alex has a good point. Alex had a point where he was saying he could have easily said, I'll sign for you, City, but I won't play against Chelsea. And they would have taken that. They would have accepted that. It's a very easy clause to put into his contract.
I don't think that he should have done that. I'm just saying it's a possibility. He could have done it, and City would have said, okay, fair enough, because they needed him badly.
Yeah. Anyway,
James Milner was given a high rating for this match.
He played well.
He played
very
well.
He's actually been a really good player for them.
He's going to leave in the summer because his contract is out.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of teams are going to be looking for him as a solid backup player. He can fill in at right back, wing back. He can fill in at defensive mid, center mid. He can fill in.
Going. He's English, Liverpool.
It would actually be a good signing, because especially with Gerrard leaving,
I dare say this, guys, and I know you guys might even knock me for it, and I'm expecting it. But yeah. James Milner is like a fit, more attacking Owen Hargreaves.
On that note, let's do Moo Moo of the Week.
Moo Moo, Moo Moo,
of the Week.
I'm excited about this because we haven't been able to take the piss out of Sam Allardyce in a while because he's been doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
But after Liverpool's 2-0 win against West Ham, Allardyce was interviewed. And during that game, James Collins and Andy Carroll got injured. And he was asked about their injuries. And Allardyce referred to James Collins as Ginge.
On live television?
It was radio, but yeah.
As Ginge.
Ginge.
I get that's what they call him in training, he's okay with it, but there's an etiquette when you're in public.
Ginge.
Yeah. Ginge.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't think that even needs an explanation.
No,
it's just,
What could be worse than that?
Well, there's two more. I've got one where I was just browsing the internet, looking at some highlights from the African Cup of Nations, and then the biggest one yesterday was I don't remember what game, but but some guy was injured on a stretcher, and then they called over the ambulance guy who comes in a golf cart, and he drives right up to the guy, all the way up to his shoulder, and like rolls over.
Like he hits the stretcher or something.
He goes over the stretcher, hits the guy's shoulder, and like rolls off him a bit.
What's funny is,
and the guy's like, bro, what are you doing?
I think Africa, because I remember seeing this in the one we hosted in 2000.
Yeah.
Africa is the only continent, I think, that does this medical cart stuff. Why can't two people come in with stretchers? They have to be
or
a
four,
cart.
Whatever.
Or maybe it's more luxurious to go off in a cart.
But it looked so funny because it was zoomed in on the guy. And he just, because they were checking his injury, right? Which is like upper body of some sort. And then all you see is this big wheel come into his screen. Anyways, that's mine.
Oh, okay.
That's a pretty strong candidate.
I almost feel like that should have won it, but. Officially, our winner this week is Mesut Ozil for his blinding bit of social media. He just posted a video on Facebook, and it's just him. It's like him in a garden or something. The production value is worse than this podcast. Right? It's just like his mate with a camera, and Ozil's just sitting there awkwardly, and he just says, "Thank you to everyone for all your support on all the social media platforms."
He's like, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's like, it could have been a Vine. It's 9 seconds long.
Support for what?
I don't know.
Like likes and comments. And
just unbelievable.
Like, is it support for him being injured? Him playing like crap? What?
Just
support?
Just support.
For being there for me?
Financial support.
He's got a Kickstarter page.
Alright, I really enjoyed that Moment of the Week segment, guys. Let's talk about Germany, which we didn't get to do for like the past month because they were just lounging around in the UAE.
Just taking taxpayer dollars.
That's exactly what they were doing.
Or euros. Sorry, euros.
Yeah.
Euros, yeah.
Not worth much anymore.
So the league is back, and we actually have a great article up on the blog about just the return of the Bundesliga and what the break means and all that.
Thanks to Adrian
Sertl. Yes.
Yep.
Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
At Lamb of God. Yeah, that's a great name.
It's the best.
So let's talk first about the relatively lesser game, Bayer Leverkusen versus Borussia Dortmund. 0-0. Dortmund still in the relegation zone.
Still bottom.
True.
Edging towards that fire sale, wouldn't you say, Richie?
Yes, clear on sale coming up. Hummels with a nice little goal line clearance. With his head.
Yeah.
Good save. Dortmund shite.
Are they going to be like 50% off, 60% off?
Two for one.
But what could possibly have happened? It's like everything just broke.
This sale will be so big that Americans will be lining up outside the stadium.
They should do it on a Friday.
Yellow Friday.
Oh, but guys, to be fair, Leverkusen are a good team.
Yes, they are.
A and B, Dortmund started off with a point away from home.
That is not a bad start to the year.
Way to put a positive spin on it. I like it. You know what? That's what's that thing? That thing? Lightning?
Spin.
Forget it.
It doesn't matter. Anyways, there's also, what's it called? Put a positive spin on this. Bayern lost to Wolfsburg 4-1.
You know, they're going to learn from this. And they'll be better for it.
Move forward, yes. So this was definitely the surprise of the... Of the month or whatever. I mean, Bayern came back already from their beautiful break. Robin got bit by an alligator. Not a big deal. Blah blah blah. And then just what's his name?
You know when you say that, I just imagine them like giggling away in the sun, like he got bit by an alligator.
Maybe. Wow. But yeah, De Bruyne just.
He tore him apart.
He was absolutely brilliant.
And the other guy that kept assisting him.
Maximilian Arnold.
Yeah, he just...
Dost needs some love for his bridge.
Everybody needs
some
love.
I don't know who he is.
But Baz Dost is a quality name, too.
It is. Baz Dost.
Dost means friend.
What a Baz Dost.
Dost means friend, guys.
Cool.
In what?
In Hindi.
How does...
Man, I thought you were saying Dutch.
Hey, Uche is the worst in languages, by the way.
Bloody hell, he's done some research.
Uche, yes.
You have a cool fact. Not fact, just a cool ironic.
Yes, you know what? I wanted to consider this a candidate for Moomoo of the Week, but you know we have to retroactively award this for 5 weeks ago because Thomas Müller, over the break, stated that Bayern Munich have been training harder than they play games.
Hmm.
I fully agree with the statement they've been absolutely just shattered by Wolfsburg.
I mean, it did show. They didn't really play very hard. At least, you know, that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was in training, they would have won or something.
It's probably because Guardiola wasn't on the pitch with them because they're used to that in training.
Where was he?
No. Like, on the... Like,
oh!
Can I ask you a question about this, though? Did he say that they train harder than they play?
No.
Or did he say that training is harder than some of their games?
They said winning
games.
They
train... That the team trains harder than they actually play games. I think he was trying to say that, yes, they play hard,
Alex,
but they
right
train
now,
harder.
The truth is not important.
No.
You're having fun. You're not going to get in the way of a good story.
No, actually, it's not a good story. The truth is he said that winning training games is harder than beating teams in the Bundesliga.
See, the reason I asked is because I could see that being true.
Well, but that is such a low thing to say.
How dare you?
He's a Ram Deuter. He can do what he wants.
You know, what is that?
Space Invader.
Oh my god.
In what?
Ram Deuter.
In Hindi?
Football manager of positions.
So yeah, that was...
Ram Deuter or whatever. Yeah.
Sorry? What's happening?
Let's move on.
All right.
Move on.
So yeah, that was the roundup of Germany. We've also got Spain.
Not France.
The rain in Spain.
Yeah, what happened?
Which falls mainly on the plains, except at Eibar, where it falls completely on the pitch.
Only over the pitch. There's one cloud in the whole city just over the pitch.
The pitch was shambolic.
That was. It was waterlogged.
It looked like Bangladesh in moon season.
Yeah.
Monsoon season.
Moon season.
Moon season. Something else.
Moon season, yeah.
Wow.
What was the score of this game?
Yes, it was 3-1 Atletico, Alex. Griezmann with a goal, and Mandzukic with two goals. All of this was sealed by halftime.
So did Torres play at all? That's the only thing that concerns me about that
team. Torres, I think he keeps rotating him. Torres did play against Barcelona in the league, which is an incredible game, to be honest.
It was like Copa del Rey.
Three red cards, 10 yellow cards, 4 goals.
Was it Arda who threw his boot at the linesman?
I have never... You know, you think you've seen everything? Unbelievable. He's so angry with that beard, that Turkish, anger, and he just, threw the boot at him. I love it. But yeah, that was I really enjoyed that game.
You know what's funniest about that is that the referee in the match report apparently didn't quite see it. So he saw that the boot went off the pitch, and so in the match report it just says Arda Turan threw his boot off the pitch.
No.
Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Through the linesman, who wasn't there.
I'm pretty sure the linesman has a say in the match report, doesn't he?
Yeah, clearly.
Possibly, I don't know.
Get consulted. Yeah, but there was another game that was rather large only because of the celebrity status.
Of Moyes.
Yes, David Moyes and his fellow peasants.
Oh, I thought you were going to say large because of the scoreline. Like, the disparity in the scoreline was rather large.
Could have been worse if Gareth Bale
did. I mean, to be fair, they did score for Real Sociedad. They scored one first from a corner, 3 minutes in.
One minute.
It was beautiful. And then after that... Real Madrid came back, as Alex always says, Real Madrid always score 4.
Yeah.
So it's always coming back to 4.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand why teams celebrate when they score against Real Madrid, especially when you score first. Forget it. Get back in position.
I mean, you scored in the first minute of the game. You should go be scared after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be fair, Sociedad scored in the second minute of the game against Barcelona and held on for victory.
True.
It wasn't to be this time.
True.
No.
I'm coming from a place where, As I've said before, my dad's a Tottenham fan, and whenever Tottenham are playing, if they score early, I get an email and it just says too early.
I love their communication is done by emails.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I love that. Barca also played today. They beat Villarreal 3-2. I mean, still conceding a lot of goals.
A little shaky.
A little shaky.
They were down 2-1, came back to win 3-2.
Correct. Again, they were down 1-0 too. They were down
1-0.
Oh,
yeah,
then
yeah.
2-1.
Scored first.
So who scored? I think Neymar, Messi, and
Rafinha.
Yeah. Suarez, racking up assists, to be fair. It's like his 7th or 8th this season. But not scored. We saw the first half together, and he just couldn't buy a goal.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the role of that central striker at Barcelona. I mean, we've said it before, is to kind of be the conduit to the wide attacking players, Messi and Neymar.
True.
In this case.
True.
I mean, we've seen it before with the other strikers. When they play down the middle, they get less goals than the wide forwards.
Well,
but that's the kind of the point of the way that Barca play.
This is something Bernie wanted to talk about, which is the whole Suarez-Benzema dilemma.
These guys, Suarez and Benzema, are not frustrating me themselves, but their roles on the teams are frustrating me. Because, I mean, again, Benzema's been there forever.
Yeah,
and,
8 years
and
now.
And after seeing him, I know it's been a long time since he was at Lyon. When he was at Lyon, he was that guy. You give him the ball, he makes stuff happen on his own. You look at Luis Suarez, 30 goals for Liverpool, same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just feel these guys are being caged. I feel like Alexis Sanchez,
like
when
Sanchez,
he was at Barcelona and the early couple of weeks at Arsenal, just, it's not their fault. They're at teams that have brilliant players. But I just feel if I was that player, you know, if I'm Luis Suarez, I'm happy to be playing with Lionel Messi, but I'm happier to be running the show on my own. Like, be the man. And you know, it's frustrating because you've seen that guy. It's not the winning. You've seen that guy be the man.
Put yourself in Suarez's boots right now and think, I'm about to move to Barca. I can recreate my awesome form from Liverpool. Why would you not think you can? The fact that it hasn't happened is what's creating this conversation. But if all Suarez had to do was take that form, replicate it in Barca, and we would not even, you know.
But it's not. Because Lionel Messi and because Neymar are who they are, there's no way that
you're saying there's a shadow.
It's not even a room for him, because tactically as well, they don't want him to do that.
Not sure. We've seen that with Bale too. When Bale does not well or well or whatever, Ronaldo is always actually in the news for whether Bale does well or not well. So yes, there is a huge shadow from these monumental players.
I just have a question for Bernie. Bernie, you're a striker, right?
quote unquote, man.
it's your role. If you are on the shoulder of the last defender, there is space behind the back four,
mm-hmm.
you are galloping into it,
mm-hmm.
like Yaya Sanogo at
mm-hmm.
top speed, there is a midfielder with the ball about to make that pass,
mm-hmm.
do you choose Jordan Henderson
or Iniesta?
Or Andres Iniesta?
No,
I know you don't like Iniesta, so let's choose someone else.
Rakitic.
Who's giving you the pass?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I just thought of Jordan Henderson passing me the ball, and I almost died. But, no, I agree with you. I pick Iniesta. But I pick Iniesta, and again, in a perfect world, if I'm Luis Suarez, I pick Iniesta, and I say, Messi, please leave my team and let me do whatever I want to do. Because I don't want to share that spotlight with someone else.
Agreed.
So
but
you're
also,
I really am.
You also realize that 90 minutes of football in a week is a very small percentage of their lives.
Yeah.
Imagine training. That's the biggest percentage of their footballing. It's practice and training. You know how much fun it is to flick with Ronaldo, Bale, Neymar, Messi, as opposed to Henderson and Lucas?
Well, you know how much fun it is to show Lucas how useless he is on the pitch? I'm not making stuff up, but
I get it.
That's just how I feel. It's like I see how you were, and I feel like you're being constrained. Again, Alexis Sanchez, I hated seeing him in the first week at Arsenal, because I thought, this guy is capable of so much more.
For example, someone like Benzema, don't you think for Madrid it is very beneficial that they have a striker who is very capable technically, from a goal-scoring perspective, from a team-playing perspective, he's very capable, and he is willing to not be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
I think that is very, very useful.
For the team.
Yeah, you have
beneficial.
A Falcao or something, and it could be a bit... Or at the time, a Falcao,
would be
not
useless.
Now. Yeah.
Because it's just a... we've seen it, it's just a penalty box striker, or not even that, 6-yard box striker, but Benzema is
Benzema's goal today.
He's everything they need
beautiful.
Him to be. And
dream.
You know, I mean, Bernie, I understand that he could be a lesser team and be the main man, but, I mean, if you asked him whether he was happy right now, he'd probably say yes.
I'm like this because of Eric Cantona, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Like, I've had those things. I've been spoiled.
Bernie's
by those
a one
things,
man.
I want those things.
Bernie loves a player that stays in a team forever and, like, is a legend and all that.
Can't all be Ryan Giggs.
Yeah, can't all be. Anyways, guys, this is actually a good debate to move into a scouting report.
Yeah, let's do that.
Romelu Lukaku.
I really don't think he's any good.
Who is this person? This is not Mane. Who are you?
I'm Raheem. So, thanks for replacing me with my brother.
Yeah, no problem.
Fully appreciate it.
We like him more than you.
I thought that was Raheem Sterling, though. Hey, you better not have as many kids.
Easy now.
Right. Let's talk a bit of a different continent. Two different continents. Let's start in Asia. Well, actually, that's not true. Start in Australia. The Asian Cup of Nations, or whatever it's called, has been going on in Australia for the last month now.
Asian Cup is okay.
Sure, Asian Cup. It's been actually quite exciting. Some upsets, UAE beating Japan in the quarterfinals, and blah, blah, blah.
Iraq beating Iran.
Or actually, semifinals. My bad. And then the finalist is kind of expected. South Korea versus Australia. It was either those two or Japan. It was one of those two guys. Mm-hmm. The final just ended today.
It was a good match.
It was. Australia nicking it 2-1 in extra time.
Yeah.
Australia were winning after 90 minutes, and then there was an equalizer by Son.
At the death. At the death.
Beautiful finish.
Yeah.
I thought that the tournament itself, like, I didn't watch full games, but the highlights seemed fun. Australia looked like a good host, did a good job of it, and the atmosphere was great. I mean, it's great to kind of see these things in different parts of the world that are not necessarily always highlighted in soccer, right?
Yeah, the atmosphere was good, and I think partly, I mean, to get kind of too socio-political about it, but partly is because Asia is, you can travel affordably in Asia. So unlike in some, like in South America, where if something is in, you know, in the south of Brazil, people in Peru and Bolivia and stuff can't necessarily afford to get there.
Yeah.
In Asia, it's far more affordable for people to get to Australia.
I mean, you just got to make sure you get there.
At least Australia won the damn thing in their hometown. And
why are you hating on why the damn thing?
I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry.
I don't know where that. So Britain has always wanted to win it and never could.
Australia have been hosting a lot of events this year.
We're not going to talk about cricket on this podcast.
Oh no!
I'm just letting you know right now.
This is one of many events.
Tennis is always. Shay's big in tennis.
Australia, yes.
Yeah, so yeah, Djokovic beat Murray. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So there's a few events, Australia are the hosts in a number of them, and you know they're a big sporting nation.
It's true. Sepp Blatter also just said that it's about time that Australia hosted a World Cup, which is cool. But like, you know, you've just given it away to two other stupid countries.
It's like how much money can Australia pay you?
Yeah. Blatter. Basically.
Anyways, guys,
let's go on to the other.
That was great hate on Australia. next continent.
The other continental competition.
Africa.
Yeah. And I'm, you know what?
Africa!
What the hell is going on here?
Is that Shakira's?
Alex is bad.
Better than Waka Waka.
It is. Yeah. But, you know, I'm going
to. Waka Waka is having a new baby, by the way. Sasha.
Sasha?
Sasha Tendulkar.
Sasha.
Go on, Bert.
I was like, Sasha. Anyway, I'm going to share hosting duties on this with the other African, you know, because I could...
North Africa is still African.
But you had your fun with the cart, but... today, they had the quarterfinal matches. So, Ghana beat Guinea 3-0. So, no more, you know...
I mean, talk us through the Guinea game against Tunisia, though.
That's not the one we want to talk about. The one we want to talk about right now in Tunisia is Tunisia and Equatorial Guinea.
Sorry, the other Guinea. Yes.
But first, Ghana beat Guinea 3-0. Ivory Coast beat Algeria, which is a surprise. Mm-hmm. And more surprising because that means my prediction is...
What was the score?
3-1.
3-1?
I'm really sad about this.
So the final is Ivory Coast versus...
No, they're going to semis now. This was quarters.
Oh.
So what's unfortunate is that I predicted Algeria to win, and you know how I have the predictions, guys.
Of course.
Anyway.
Losing your touch.
In the Congo Derby... it would have been great if it was Equatorial Guinea against Guinea.
And then Congo
would have been awesome. But in the Congo Derby, Democratic Republic of Congo Democratic, but we don't care.
Dr. Congo.
Yeah. Yeah. They beat them 4-2.
Has this been described as a win for democracy?
I don't know. Are there troops from going to show up there or something? And then...
No, they don't have oil.
Oh, yes. True.
Not yet.
Tunisia beat... Well, lost to a country that does have oil and is corrupt. Equatorial Guinea.
It was Tunisia for them, though.
Tunisia because the referee made sure that there was no equity in that.
Good job, guys.
And the referee was horrible. He gave away an extra time penalty, a 90th-minute penalty now all Africa is in flames.
What was the incident, though? Like, what?
Nothing.
He just gave away a penalty that was not a penalty.
Two people were standing next to each other. And he called a penalty. Apparently that's illegal in the game.
You know what this makes me think? It makes me think, how much can I buy a referee for in the AFCON?
Probably not much.
But check this out. The referee has done the same thing to Morocco.
Right.
He's from Mauritania, which is kind of north, not really north. Mm. I think he's biased against the North African.
Geographically.
I think if you look at his LinkedIn profile, you'll see that he's friends with Tom Henning Overbow.
Probably.
And a lot of Singaporean guys.
Anyways, you know, sometimes you just gotta rock and roll with the punches.
I think, thanks Alex, that's a great way to end. Again, just as a little promise for our viewers, next week we'll be focusing a little bit more on TFC. They've made a couple of good signings.
Yes.
We'll bring you that next week.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.